Hi, welcome to another episode of Ellington Reflections. My name is Steve Bowie, and I'm your host for this podcast. Today we're going to discuss When Cootie Left the Duke. Cootie Williams was one of the star soloists of the Ellington Band, and when he left towards the end of 1940, it caused ripples around the music world. It was akin to LeBron James leaving his team. And of course, he came back. And eventually, Cootie Williams did come back. A lot of people don't realize that because Cootie was there at the beginning and at the end, that there was a huge gap of 22 years where he was elsewhere. This episode will deal with the first part of his absence, the year he spent with Benny Goodman. We heard Concerto for Cootie to start out this podcast, and it was a very influential recording, not only in terms of the ground it broke in terms of featuring a soloist, one soloist throughout a recording. That was something fairly revolutionary in jazz. But it also demonstrated the range of Cootie's talents, dynamics, being able to play open and plungered and muted all within the same song. It just showed his versatility. As a matter of fact, there was a trumpet player named Jimmy Maxwell, who was with Benny Goodman. He was playing this recording in his room. Benny Goodman happened to walk by and said, "Wow, who's that?" I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "We'd like to get him." So he set his brother Irving into the negotiations. Duke Ellington himself, according to Cootie Williams, was involved in the negotiations, and he arranged for Cootie to get a very nice salary. The reports say it was $200 a week. In 1940, that's equivalent to over $3,500 a week now, or about $184,000 a year. So it was a nice price. Also, as part of Duke's deal, he said that this was for Cootie to play with the sextet only, not with the big band. But before we get into the recordings of Cootie Williams and Benny Goodman, I'd like to play the recording that gave us the title for the next two podcast episodes, When Cootie Left the Duke. Band leader and composer Raymond Scott decided to commemorate the occasion with a song, and this was recorded in January of 1941. Unfortunately, I don't know the name of the trumpet soloist here with the Raymond Scott Orchestra, but you'll notice that the structure mirrors that of Concerto for Cootie, with the trumpet player playing open, muted, and with a plunger. For 1940, Cootie Williams made his last record with Duke on the 2nd of November. On the 7th of December, just five scant days later, he makes his first recordings with the Benny Goodman Sextet. At this time, it was unusual to have integrated groups, and for this first session with Benny Goodman, there was another guest there. He wasn't a regular member of the sextet, and that was pianist Count Basie. But of special interest, so much so that these recordings are now issued under his name instead of Benny Goodman, is guitarist Charlie Christian. He wasn't the first electric guitar player, he wasn't the first guitar soloist, but he combined all of these things into something that was uniquely his own, uniquely swinging, uniquely inventive, and even almost 80 years later, people are still being inspired by these recordings. So I'm going to play three from this very first session, Holy Cats, Royal Garden Blues, and finally, Benny's Bugle. Thank you. Benny Goodman sextet was an added attraction, and not all the players in the sextet were in the big band. The sextet had part of a set each evening. Bacuti relates sometimes he'd keep the sextet on an hour and a half. So here are two more from the sextet, different session, Breakfast Feud, and then a smooth one. Thank you. Also during his tenure with Benny Goodman, Cootie Williams was one of the winners of the Metronome Jazz Poll. Metronome was a music magazine, and they were able to assemble some of their winners into the studio to record. The first of two selections we'll hear from the poll winner's band is Bugle Call Rag. There are breaks by Harry James and Tex Beneke on tenor sax at the beginning of the selection, and then we hear solos by Benny Goodman on clarinet, J.C. Higginbotham on trombone, Toots Mondello on alto sax, Count Basie on piano, Coleman Hawkins on tenor sax, and three trumpets in order by Cootie Williams, Ziggy Elman, and Harry James.
Thank you.
The same group also recorded 1 O'Clock Jump, which was Count Basie's theme song. It has an intro by Buddy Rich on the drums, and then solos by Count Basie on piano, Charlie Christian on guitar, J.C. Higginbotham again on trombone, Coleman Hawkins tenor saxophone, Cootie Williams on the trumpet, Benny Carter alto sax, Harry James on trumpet, and finally Benny Goodman on the clarinet. Remember at the beginning of the podcast, I had stated that Ellington had made a deal to where Cootie was only going to be playing with the sextet. Well, that deal didn't last very long. Within a week of his first sextet session, Cootie was playing with the big band. Also, towards the beginning, I stated how unusual it was to have an integrated group. And with the racial integration, there were the usual problems of separate but unequal accommodations. From the book Jazz Anecdotes by Bill Crow, who's also a bass player, we have the following story from trumpeter Jimmy Maxwell, who was Cootie's section mate. I generally liked to room alone, but we would get into a place like Ohio or someplace, and they wouldn't have any place for Cootie to stay. So I would check in both names, and then Cootie would come into the room. And it broke my heart the first time he said, "You check in, and I'll carry the bags in, and I'll act like I'm the band boy." I said, "B.S. I'll check in and you walk in and I'll carry my own bags. That much I'll do." Then he didn't want to go down to the dining room and he said, "We'll have room service." I didn't want to go out and eat and leave him alone, so it cost me a lot of money. But when I said, "Look, we'll go down to the dining room. You don't have to do anything. If they say anything at all, I'll pop them." And he said, "No, I don't want to embarrass the band. Leave it alone. It's all right." And it's heartbreaking that a musician of his stature, and it, as it happened to many others, were treated so badly. But also, Bill Crow, besides writing that book, Jazz Anecdotes, he's written a number of books. And there's a link to an article where he describes his tour with Benny Goodman in 1962. Benny Goodman, to put it mildly, was complicated. And you can read this rather lengthy but informative and engrossing article on our website at ellingtonreflections.com. So first I'd like to play you two songs featured with the big band. So first I'd like to play you two Cootie Williams. So first I'd like to play you two songs that Cootie Williams soloed with the big band. The first is Fiesta in Blue, and the second is Moonlight on the Ganges. Thank you. Next is a novelty song called Let the Doorknob Hit You. Cootie sings on this one. He sang with Ellington, and he was to sing with his own big band, so this is nothing new, but usually he sang on novelty-type songs, not serious ballads or anything like that.
Another doorknob to
judge. Got out, be gone, jump back, and let the doorknob hit you in the back. Got out, be gone, jump back, and let the doorknob hit you. Got out, be gone, jump back, and let the doorknob hit you in the back. Thought you were sick, full of him and them, but baby, what right? It's quite a mess. You've been beating up your job about what you do when the show done gave you that bread and stew. Cut out, be gone, jump back, and let the doorknob hit you. Cut out, be gone, jump back, and let the doorknob hit you in the back.
To tell you how great a trumpet player Cootie Williams was, I'd like to quote a Downbeat article written in May of 1952 by John Hammond. He says, "A couple years ago, Benny Goodman and I were discussing the abilities of the trumpet players who had been members of his various bands. He said he had a favorite, and I immediately assumed it was either Harry James or Ziggy Elman. 'No,' said Benny, 'you're way off. Cootie Williams was by far the most versatile man that ever played in the section. He was a fast reader, had the biggest tone, and unlimited power. Nobody can play lead like Cootie, and his solos are great.'" To illustrate the point Goodman made, I'd like to play you a showcase that was written by the great arranger Eddie Sauter, entitled Superman. In it, you'll hear entirely how versatile Cootie Williams was, what a powerful player he was, and what a command he had of the instrument.
Thank you.
After his year with Benny Goodman had completed, Cootie figured it was time to go back to Duke. So, to quote Cootie, he said, "After the contract was up, I contacted him and I said, 'I'm ready for my job. The year's up.' He said, 'Oh no, you're too big now. You can make a whole lot of money.' He said, 'Go ahead on.' He said, 'I don't need you right now. Time I need you, I'll let you know.'" This caught Cootie a bit off guard, but he did decide to form his own big band. And that's what we'll discuss in our next episode, When Cootie Left the Duke, Part 2. So thanks for listening. And remember, again, you can see links that will refer you to various reference material on our webpage at ellingtonreflections.com. So till next time, remember what I always say about Ellingtonia. It's something you ought to know.